It's a full session today. We are continuing on our resilience series. I'm going to read you again the definition that I read you every week, that is one of many, but one that I particularly like. Resilience can be viewed as a defense mechanism which enables people to thrive in the face of adversity. So we're not going to just survive, we're going to thrive. And a quick review that we learned earlier, that resilience skills can be sort of boiled down into three basic categories. One is positivity, one is self-determined action and lifestyle, or things like feeling a sense of self-efficacy, knowing that you do have some control over something, even if not everything. And living by your values, stuff like that. And then the third category is connection.
Right. Would you just say them again? I was writing other stuff. Would you say you've already said this, right?
I say
Yeah.
it every
Okay.
week, hoping that one day I'm going to remember it myself.
Okay. Say it again.
Positivity.
Okay. Okay.
Self-determined action
Okay.
and lifestyle
Okay.
and connection.
Okay, yes. I have this down every week.
Okay, good. Hi, Uncle Don. I'm just reviewing what we've done in the past couple of weeks, but you're going to need some paper and something to write with tonight. So if you've got a notebook or a few scraps of, scrap paper or something. Excellent. So the last couple of sessions, we've been in the category of self-determined action, looking at the internal locus of control, the belief that we can actually have some influence over what happens. And that's an important part of resilience, that we don't have a sense of fate, that things just happen to us and there's nothing we can do about it. Things do just happen to us, but there are things that we can do. And we've looked at things we can do externally to take care of our bodies and our emotions. Last week, we looked at internal ways of caring for those vulnerable places. Today, we're going to move on to the values. And I want to clarify that I'm not talking about things like generosity and kindness. I think we all share those sort of values, and we don't need to remind ourselves that we want to be kind people. What I want to look at tonight is more like what is important to you in your life that you find fulfilling, satisfying, pleasurable, makes you feel proud, makes you feel loved, those sort of things. So values in the more personal, and more specific sense. And the reason we want to look at this and learn to live in accordance with these values is that, we talk about positivity training and doing loving kindness and learning to deal with difficult emotions and that sort of stuff. We're going to have a lot more success with that if we start on a foundation of a life that is already, excuse me, already as satisfying and as positive as it is possible to be for us. It's not to say that what we're going to do now is going to make us happy, because there's always going to be, I should say, make us always happy or completely happy, because there's always going to be challenges and stuff. But we do want to be living our lives in accordance with the things that are important to us personally. So we're going to start tonight by identifying some of those values. And I hope that you'll continue to work with this process throughout the week. And then next week, we're going to look at aligning our lives and our values. because that just makes for happier people and more resilient people. It makes us, it starts us on a higher level. So when catastrophe strikes and it knocks us down, we are higher to start with, so we don't get knocked quite so far. So we have that little extra resilience to start with. Hi, Sean.
Hi, Sean.
We're just about to start identifying the things that are important to us, that make us happy and satisfied and all of that. So what are the values that drive you and that satisfy you? That's what we're looking at. So get your pens and notebooks ready. See, we knew you would have one, Sean. You always have your notebook. So first of all, we're going to answer a few questions. And this is total brainstorming. This was me doing it earlier today. You can't see it. But we're not trying to find out the answers. We're using some questions to brainstorm some things about ourselves. And I'll do this with you. And I've got a slide. Let me see if I can figure out how to share the screen. It's been a couple of weeks since I've done this. Okay. Share. All right. Can you all see that?
Mm-hmm. What did I do?
Hang on. Let me get so that I can see you and it. Okay. So, if money, time, and consequences were no barrier, so there are no bad consequences to eating chocolate breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You have infinite money and infinite time to do whatever you want. What activities would you choose to do? And we want to look at things you've already done so that you know that they are things that you would actually enjoy doing. You know, you might think that you want to jump out of an airplane, but when you get there, decide that it's really not for you. So we're not looking at what do I want to do. We're looking at what sorts of things would I choose to do. Going to museums, going to concerts, going to church, going for a hike, hanging out with certain people, having a cup of tea every morning, that sort of thing. And try and be as specific as possible. So instead of just going to a museum, maybe you want to go to science museums or natural history museums. Or maybe if any museum at all will do, make a note of that. Because those sort of details are going to help us figure out what it is about these activities that we like. And also people that you like to hang out with, if that comes to your mind. So we'll do that for maybe 5 minutes or so. And we won't be sharing with in the chat this time, so go ahead and be as honest and personal as you want. I should have asked, but I'm going to assume since no one has said anything that this all makes sense. You don't have any questions about it, but do feel free.
I missed the beginning. What's the context?
The context is that if we can live our lives according to the things that are important to us, then we're going to be more satisfied and content and happy in general before we hit any challenges in our lives. So tonight we're just trying to identify what some of these things are.
And so
not values, not general values that we all share, like kindness and generosity, but specific things like spending time with your grandkids,
I was just writing that, just as you said it.
So what does it mean? What is it saying? Choose things you have done. What's that, the last word?
And no.
And no. Okay.
So don't choose things that you think you would like to do if you had the time and money. Choose things that you know are
that you have done and know. Okay. Right.
Wait, so it does have to be something we've already done?
Yeah. Because we're going to be trying to figure out why these things are satisfying to us.
Oh. Okay, so the part about flying over Mount Everest, that goes away?
Not if you haven't done that, that goes away.
Yeah, okay. That one goes away. Hold. Okay, got it.
Because you might actually do it and then get so airsick that you hate it. So we're not imagining we're looking at what we already know to work.
Okay.
So I've got, for example, seeing movies in the cinema and going to San Francisco. So that's...
Oh. So the money, time, and consequences really is there because that's our real life.
The money, time, and consequences are if you know that travel makes you happy, but you just can't afford it right now.
Okay.
That's irrelevant.
Hey, got COVID it. Now too.
Even your COVID, drugs, what would you do?
If COVID wasn't here too.
Yeah. All of that. And it can be as simple as sitting on the porch drinking tea. So how's that list going? You're getting a few things there on paper? Sort of looks like it. Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to stop you there. And one reason why I said I hope that you'll continue to do this throughout the week is because half an hour is not really enough time for this exercise. So if you're finding it helpful by the end of the session tonight, you might want to continue to brainstorm as the week goes. But we're going to move on to... part two, and that is discovering common characteristics. So depending on how long your list is, you may want to just pick one or two things. And if there's something that really stands out for you, you know, that you're passionate about, put that at the top of the list. Pick a few things that... that just really make you feel like you want to do that. And we're going to brainstorm again with characteristics about these things. So, characteristics and commonalities. So by that, I mean, write down, for example, I like teaching on Zoom. So what are things about that? I get to meet new people. I get to see old friends. I get to do technical stuff. I enjoy planning for it. You know, all things like that. Write down characteristics or what it involves in again as much detail as you can, and even things that seem sort of minor, like I like the technical aspect of Zoom.
Commonalities from our previous list or just
that's not very clear, is it? So list characteristics. Actually, I feel as if I've skipped a slide. Which may be the problem. So you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop the share for now and then we'll come back to that. So write down, here's a bunch of things that I wrote down that I like to do. So now I'm going to go and with each one, I'm going to write down characteristics about that thing, or what is it about that I like or that I notice. Does that make sense? Maybe it's if you've written time with your grandchildren, what do you like about that? Do you like time with your grandchildren, I guess, is pretty obvious.
What about something like if you I like yoga, so it's like moving my body, having a sense of completion once I finish the session, feeling good afterwards, like the nice feeling I get from
exactly right. Okay. And you might notice if you can even get more detailed. Do you prefer yoga in person or on Zoom? And then you might say, well, why is it in person? It's because I also like to see people and talk to them. Mm-hmm. Or I like it on Zoom because I like not having to see people. So we're just brainstorming everything about these activities that might give us a clue as to what we like about them. Why are they satisfying for us? And don't neglect things that seem minor or neutral, because they might pop up in different places and point you to something that you hadn't thought of yet. So is that more clear? Okay. And also, if you happen to notice some things that you don't like about something, like I've just written that I like movies in the cinema because I like going with my friends, but I don't like it if it's really crowded. So you could make also a list of negative or things that you don't like. We're not doing that intentionally now, but if that comes to mind, start a little list of that. I don't seem to like being in crowds. But that's not the focus of what we're doing here. So you guys got some things listed down there? I'm sure you could go on for some time. So again, if you want to continue this over the week, it might yield more results. But now what we're going to do is go back to that slide. And we're looking at commonalities. So by that, what I mean is look through your lists of things, of characteristics, and see if there are things that pop up in more than one place or in more than one way. Are there any things that are absolutely essential, that if that characteristic was not there, you wouldn't want to do this thing? And also, does anything new come to mind? So again, we're not being too analytical here. We're just allowing the brain to come up with what it wants to, but I'll give you an example. I have sitting on the porch drinking tea, and I have Cosmo sitting on my lap as two different things, and I was writing down characteristics and realized I like it when I'm drinking hot tea, not iced tea. I don't like that so much. And then I wrote down with Cosmo that he's warm. And so now I'm getting a clue that, oh, I like things that involve being warm. So you see how we're sort of looking for patterns and commonality. It might not be totally clear. And if you can take some time to do this during the week, you'll have a lot more information to see patterns in. But let's spend a few minutes just looking at that and seeing if you can pull out one or two things that seem to be important for your enjoyment or satisfaction of things you do or people you see. Okay, so we're a little short on time, so I'm going to stop you here. But are you getting a sense of how this works? Is anything coming to you? And would anyone like to share? And it's absolutely not required because this can be very personal, but
I noticed that a lot of my items boiled down to spending time outdoors with friends. Like that's a commonality, and experiencing novelty is another one.
That's funny. Experiencing novelty is, I was trying to find words for something and that's exactly it. So let me just write that down. Experiencing novelty. Any other thoughts? And it doesn't have to be what your conclusions are.
Riffing off of novelty, a therapist once told me the two things that bring people together and keep them together in a relationship are typically novelty and familiarity.
It's funny you should say that, because the other thing I have on here is about familiarity and feeling at home, feeling like I belong. So that's interesting. See, I'm learning a lot about myself just doing this. I did it a little bit yesterday and learning more as I do it now. So next week we're going to look at ways that we can, or looking at whether or not our lives actually reflect these things that are important to us, and how we might be able to realign a little bit. I mean, we can't all just quit our jobs and go explore novel places for the rest of our lives.
Or maybe we can.
But there may be, like, another thing that I found was I really enjoy not being rushed and taking my time, sitting on the porch with a cup of tea or wandering around San Francisco without an agenda, that sort of thing. So if I look at my life and find that I'm just rushing all the time, that's not in alignment with these values that I hold. So we're going to be looking at that next week. And if you want to explore this more during the week, I know that you probably won't have time, but maybe keep the list on a side table, and if something pops into your mind, write it down. Then you'll be able to refer to it next week. And another thing you can do that we didn't have time to even get to today was to do the same thing, but with things that you avoid. You know, what would you really not want to do? I would not want to be in a crowd of sports lovers at a high school sports event. And then I can say, well, what is it about that? You know, what are the things about that? Well, I don't like crowds. I feel uncomfortable with high school students, you know, so looking at the things that you are aversive to can also give you insights. So I'll just throw that out there if you want some homework.
So Pat, you're not coming with me to Cubs games is what you're telling me.
No, actually, because that's not high school. I would love to go to a Cubs game with
you. All right.
But I would not probably enjoy going to a party at your house with a whole lot of Cubs fans watching on TV. So now I can look at those two things and say, what's different about that?
See, we don't allow that. Cubs games are reverential.
Okay.
They require focus.
Right. Well, then I will await the invitation to the Cubs game. But that's actually, oddly, a great example to see why the detail is important when you're doing this.
Right. Because, you know, I have great power. Depending on what I do, where I sit and what I do and what I say can affect the outcome of the game. So it's very important what I do.
I would love to be near that power.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
Okay, well, we're going to move into some meditation, but I just want to ask if there's anything else anyone would like to say and ask if this was helpful or just frustrating, so that that'll help me in future planning too. If this is something you never want to do again.
I thought it was very helpful. It's good to see, you can see the patterns when you write it down. You know, if I just think in my head, like, I'd love to travel, you know, I love to be outside, but it, you don't see the patterns unless you get the detail and you can see it all together.
Exactly. Right.
I had a little problem with the could do anything but had to already have done it aspect. That threw me for a little loop. Because at first I was like, oh, it's my to-do list of things I still want to do before I die, my bucket list. And then I was oh no, but I've already had to have done it, but could be in an extension of my bucket. So I had a little hard time teasing that apart. I don't know if it's just because that's like I'm COVID crazy and so I've got the bucket list on the brain.
Yeah, that could be. No, this is the list of things that you did that you would recommend to other people. Maybe that's a
bit. That helps.
Bearing in mind that other people might not like what you like. But if that helps you to identify what you're looking for.
Okay, things I've done that I really like. Yeah. Okay, I'm writing that down. Thank you. That helps.
Things you've done or people that you spend time with. I found a particular friend came up on my list yesterday. And when I looked at characteristics about him, I discovered things that connected with other activities that I do. So one of the reasons I like him is because he also has an interest in similar things that I do. So it's actually pretty fascinating once you sit down and spend some time with it and let it mull and come back to it and make some more notes.
So it's why do we like the things we like to do and what are the commonalities in those things that we've been doing?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank
but
you.
Try not to limit your list just to what is it about it that I like? Because we want to go even further than that and discover maybe there are things about it that I don't realize I like. So also, what is it about it that simply is part of the activity? Going to a Cubs game, being in a crowd, being outdoors, eating hot dogs. Maybe you discover that you really like hot dogs. You know? So try not to limit yourself to things that you already know you like. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Do you like hot dogs?
No, I have to laugh. I hate hot dogs, and I was once forced to eat one as a child and threw it up on my mother. And then later on in life.
Aversive list.
Yeah. Later on, I learned that they were okay because there's like nothing else to eat at a ballpark, and she caught me eating one at a ballpark and almost killed me.
And then you vomited on her again.
I did not. I did not. I was older and wiser, but, you know. There is no storm like the only child who does not want to eat something.